It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Finding suitable mental health medications can be a challenge. The GeneSight test may help. Did you know that genetics can play an important role in gaining insight on how a person may respond to various medications? Understanding this may help reduce medication trial and error. GeneSight is a genetic test that analyzes variations in DNA. It shows how genes may affect someone's metabolism or response to medications commonly prescribed to treat depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions. Visit GeneSight.com for more information.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
All right, let's go. You start, Karana. We're going to put all our 10 and 12-year-old emails on the table. We're going to read. I'll read from yours so you can read from mine.
Actually, I would take that bet. I think you'd probably get canceled before me, honestly.
I don't think I would. Well, who knows? Maybe I would. See, I've had my radar up for a long time, so I'm not as careless as some people. And when I see the John Gruden texts to his friend, while John Gruden was working for ESPN, he wasn't with the NFL, he wasn't a coach, and he was emailing back and forth with his friend Bruce Allen. I think, go ahead and fire him for one thing above all others, being an idiot.
Oh,
being a dumbass.
Stupidity.
When you type those words and you hit send, you're an idiot, and it has cost him his job. It has cost him, we don't know how much money he's going to walk away with, but he was in year four of a $100 million contract. He just lost a job that paid $10 million a year because of stupid, offensive emails. And yesterday, we talked about yesterday, I thought there's a good chance he will survive. You had that one dumb email talking about DeMar Smith's lips and calling him dumb, by the way. And he apologized for it. He made a statement after the game. And I didn't think it would just go away because obviously there are people invested in cancel culture who live to go after people who screw up and say stupid defensive things. And you knew they were coming for him. But I said, if it's just that email, he's going to survive. But later on, last night, I believe, that the NFL held onto other offensive emails. Now, tell me this shouldn't bother everyone, the way this transpired, the way Gruden's career as a coach, the way Gruden's tenure as the Raiders head coach and GM and boss who controlled everything in Vegas. Tell me this shouldn't bother everyone. The emails were part of an investigation of the Washington football team because God knows they've had lots of improprieties there, sexual discrimination and other things. They were investigating Dan Snyder and the Redskins. Redskins. They got a hold of 600,000 emails and they went through them and they found some offensive ones in Bruce Allen's stash from his company email. It was John Gruden's personal email, but it was Bruce Allen's company email. So they get a handful of offensive things that Gruden said. They leak one, I believe, to the Wall Street Journal. The first one about DeMar Smith's lips.
The lips thing, yeah.
And immediately, Gruden is on the ropes. You're wondering, does he survive this? We compared it to other people who've been canceled, other people who've been caught saying, typing, emailing offensive things. And you say, well, maybe he apologized. He moved on. He's got a big contract.
10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 10, 12 years ago. And then the Raiders don't do anything immediately. Mark Davis didn't immediately. I think he was busy. He was at Dave and Buster's. That's his favorite place. He goes.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Or he was getting his bowl cut.
Yeah, he's a little large to be jumping in the ball pit. But you know, they let him because he's kind of, you know, he's likable. So
looks
they
like
him.
A British royal, right?
Yes, and he acts like it too. And he seems like a British royal where maybe his parents were cousins.
Yes.
Yeah. But Mark Davis didn't act quick enough. So what did the NFL do? The slimy, sleazy NFL, I don't know, PR department. I'm sure it came right from the commissioner. But Goodell, what did Goodell, who is, let me come up with a term for Goodell. I'm just going to think of a term I would use to describe Goodell. How about a clueless anti-football pussy?
Well, there's that, but there's also a F slur too.
That's true. An F slur, which I don't know if you went through every football coach's email. Do you think you might find some F slurs?
I think you might. Maybe you're or recorded a locker room, perhaps.
These are you know. These are barbarians, these football guys, you know? These are old-school football guys, and sometimes they use F-slurs. Not excusing it. It's stupid. Again, he's an idiot for typing this and sending this. But the way the NFL brought him down, and I assume they did it out of fear of the woke mob, out of fear that they were going to come after Gruden and it was going to become a long, drawn-out, ugly story. So they leak a few more emails until the Raiders finally force Gruden to resign.
Well, it doesn't help that Roger Goodell's a narcissist, super cocky bastard. If he gets wind of these emails, he's going to be a little vindictive, don't you think?
Yes, and I used to think the reputation of the media, the effect the media has on things, was overstated and overrated. I don't feel that way anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because they drive cancel culture. They decide, the media, who gets canceled and who can survive. And I was just looking, I often go back and read what Nick Cannon said. Nick Cannon is host of The Masked Singer. I know that's one of your favorite shows.
Never seen it.
He's host, you've seen previews or promos of it. It looks like the most idiotic show ever, but apparently it makes money for Fox. And Nick Cannon didn't lose that gig. Nick Cannon works for Viacom, does a MTV show, didn't lose that gig. He also has a million other things, podcasts. He lost nothing. Do you recall what Nick Cannon said?
I know he was on a podcast.
Yes, and he said it like recently. It wasn't a 10-year-old email. He said it for public consumption, that white people are evil, incapable of compassion, and they lack the melatonin it takes to be compassion. They're barbarians. White people, he spewed this kind of vile, anti-white, racist hate that comes right from a Farrakhan sermon. He's a Farrakhan disciple, and he lost nothing when he said white people are evil. Now, I'm not sure how you dress that up and excuse that. I guess you don't. You just say,
hey, doesn't get reported the same way.
He apologized, and he met with some rabbis in the Anti-Defamation League. And yeah, because they made it seem like it was an anti-Semitic rant. It was really a racist, anti-white, and anti-Semitic rant. It was as vile and offensive as anything you have ever heard a celebrity say. He survived. He's making probably $20 million a year. He's on this silly show, where you wear a mask and you sing and you take the mask off and the celebrities guess who you are. He's on some other stupid show on MTV and other things where he's clearly expendable. I mean, anyone could host that idiotic show. But he survived. The media decided it was a thing and, you know, for a day or two, and he apologized and we moved on. There are lots of people who are passing judgment on John Gruden today who have done or said worse things. I mean, you're going to hear from, I don't know, players and Antonio Brown, say, who was accused of rape down in Tampa and paid off the victim, the trainer, the former trainer.
Right.
There are people who have no problem that Deshaun Watson has not been suspended by the NFL. Deshaun Watson is accused by 20 women, 20 masseuses of sexual assault, including 10 who are filing criminal charges. Roger Goodell has not done anything about Deshaun Watson yet. And forget whether he should suspend him or kick him out of the league or fine him or whatever. They've felt no need, no compulsion to punish, to pass judgment on Deshaun Watson and many, many others. But in this case, you know, it was Gruden, it was crude, it was racist, it was vulgar. So they say, you must leave now. You can't work in this league full of, you know, full of miscreants and ne'er-do-wells. And I mean,
oh yeah, a lot of violent people in the NFL.
A lot of violent people. Randy Moss, we'll get to Randy Moss, was accused of domestic violence and accused of lots of things, quitting on his team, among other things. I mean, he's been to jail for fighting when he was younger. I mean, he's been through some stuff, as he says, you know, been through a lot. Randy Moss cried. And we're going to get to it. We're going to play it because I guess this is what you do to prove that you've really been affected. But if we boil it down, Randy Moss heard secondhand, obviously, was told that John Gruden wrote something in an email 10 years ago about a guy that he doesn't like, DeMar Smith, and called him dumb and said he has big lips like Michelin tires. Obviously, that's stupid and offensive, and there's no excuse for it. But Randy Moss played 14 years in the NFL, one of the all-time greats. He knows what football is. He knows all about, you know, football, the life of football, the barbaric nature of it, the way, you know, you're fighting for your life out there. And Randy Moss cried.
He cried.
Another man said something about another man in a 10-year-old email. That's the point we've reached. And I don't believe for a second that Randy Moss is genuinely affected to that level. But to make matters worse, and again, we'll get to it, but Sam Ponder, the host, this beautiful blonde white woman, she cried too.
It's a very emotional night.
Because a coach in Las Vegas emailed someone 10 years ago, said something stupid and offensive, and a grown man and a grown woman on the set of ESPN and football analysts are crying? And Teddy Bruschi actually says, I don't know how you could play for the man. I'm sorry, but lots of people play for lots of men who've done worse and probably feel the same way, say the same things. These are crude people. It's the NFL. Here's where I decided that Gruden was done, Dunsky. And I don't know if he'll ever recover, but in a 2012 email to Bruce Allen, he described then Vice President Joe Biden as, quote, a nervous, clueless pussy. That's in the New York Times. That's in 2000. That's almost 10 years ago. And I guess he was ahead of the curve talking about our now commander in chief. But this is a guy, Gruden, and you'll see it. There'll be lots of people writing, tweeting, talking about this in the coming days because it's a big deal. It's a big story. The NFL is the biggest league we got. You know, the Las Vegas Raiders are kind of a big deal right now. Gruden's very famous. He was great on TV. He's been a pretty good coach. He had his team, you know, 3-2, 3-1 going into Monday night or Sunday night. Sunday, whatever. The game they lost and went to 3-2, and he was pissed off, and he apologized for what he said about DeMar Smith. But then the other emails came out, and he was done.
He would have survived that first round.
Yes.
But then he made the mistake of someone asked him, and I wonder if this was a plant. Someone asked him, hey, is there anything else out there that's going to come out? And he said, no.
Oh, well, you know what? It must be just slow, painful torture to know they have all your emails in their hand and they're going to leak them out one at a time until the Raiders fire you. Again, and if I'm not defending Gruden, I'd just like to see, I don't know, Randy Moss's 10-year-old emails or Sam Ponder's or Rex Ryan's or Roger Goodell's 10, 12-year-old emails. Now, Goodell's probably too smart to type that and send that, but do you think he might have said things about people, about Joe Biden or about DeMar Smith, who's an adversary in many ways? You think, I'm sure he didn't talk about his lips, but do you think he might have insulted him, ripped him, blasted him?
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw, well, first of all, the racist trope that you can't get away, you can't escape from that. But then insulting, you know, insulting Joe Biden or Roger Goodell, he's insulting really powerful people. I knew when I saw that the media would not rest till they had his ass on a stick. And they did within minutes. Clearly, Gruden saw no way out. He knew, and I don't know how many more emails they're holding back in case he held out for another day.
He would have kept every few days just dropping them.
But this is good because you don't want someone like John Gruden to soil the brand of the NFL. You know, when you're sitting down, say, for your marquee event in February, when they sit down to watch the Super Bowl, you don't want thoughts of this kind of bad human being or racist guy being involved when you sit down to watch the halftime show when Eminem and Dr. Dre come out.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want real upstanding, wholesome people to represent the Shield, to represent the league, not people, not miscreants like John Gruden. Now, John Gruden's life as he knew it is over. I'm sure he's got plenty of money. He probably had a settlement here. Probably walks away with, I mean, they owe him, whatever, $70 million.
I don't think they give him. I think.
I mean, he walks away with, I don't know, 25 maybe, something like that, because he went quietly, didn't fight it. And they made the assistant, the special teams coach.
Should have brought
coach.
Cable back. That great Tom Cable.
Yeah.
I think I was out west when he was coaching the
Raiders. Curly Joe DeRita. He looks like the lost stooge. But it is an odd standard. And you could have Nick Cannon could be involved in the halftime show, the pregame show at some playoff game or Super Bowl. Again, Eminem could come out and sing about beating up women or, you know, killing cops. Dr. Dre, you know, there'll be no mention from Randy Moss or Sam Ponder about Dr. Dre's past, because that might make them cry. But is that the point we've reached where, and I know what happened, it was Kirk Herbstreit when they were talking about George Floyd, and he just was a slobbering mess crying about George Floyd. It was total theater. It was a total act. I lost a lot of respect for Herbstreit. Kirk Herbstreit, I know he was faking to ingratiate himself with his black colleagues, but he can't seriously want us to believe that he's genuinely broken up to the point he's in tears over George Floyd. It was a bizarre performance, but it got a lot of good pub. It got a lot of rave reviews. I think that's what they strive for. Randy Moss is not stupid. He knows he wants to outperform others when it comes to reacting to this. And everyone's going to be offended. Everyone's going to say there's no place in the game for this. And they're going to say good riddance to John Gruden and the usual people with the porches, pitchforks and torches will be coming for him. The Deadspins and the you know, Daily Beasts all those people will say they won't be happy until Gruden's life is completely destroyed, you know, marriage is over and he's destitute. Until, you know, you make a mistake like making fun of someone's lips, you deserve the death penalty to these people, and they will not rest until Gruden's life is ruined. And that's the way we are now. But Randy Moss knows to just say, you know, there's no place for that in the game. You don't get noticed. You got to cry. You got to cry on cue. And he did. And I assume someone else on TV will try to top that and say, look at me. I care more than you. Look at me. I'm more broken up by it than you. I mean, Teddy Bruschi talks in this interview about how you have to play because, you know, you have to provide for your family, but you don't want to play for the man. You don't want to play for them. So Teddy Bruschi wouldn't want to play for a coach who made fun of another person's lip. And say the coach was a great coach. Say it was Belichick. Say it was a guy who really liked Bruschi, gave him a lot of opportunities. And he wouldn't play for him because in a 10-year-old email, he made fun of someone's lips. He made fun of the commissioner.
See, I think insults are one thing. Like, you can kind of get over that. But the problem was Gruden was also making judgment calls on whether people should or should not be in the league based on their sexuality or gender. That's the problem. Because if you're using tropes to say this person shouldn't be in the league, then you're like, this is your field manager?
It's a good point. He used all the wrong language.
He did.
All the wrong targets. He talked, this is when I knew the media would never rest until he was done. He mocked the people who knelt, like Colin Kaepernick. God knows, I would never do that. I respect the right to protest.
Yes.
And he mocked the stunt that was the St. Louis Rams drafting Michael Sam. And now that's clearly anybody who's paying attention knew it was a stunt. They knew Michael Sam couldn't play. The rumor was that Goodell made a deal with Jeff Fisher and the Rams that said, if you draft this first openly gay player in the 7th round, we'll leave you out of Hard Knocks. Now, most coaches, GMs, don't want to be part of Hard Knocks.
No
they
way.
Were eligible for it. That was the rumor. I mean, they drafted him. The ESPN had a camera in his apartment. He was making out with his boyfriend. It was a wonderful thing. All the usual people, Out Sports and Alex Reamer, were tweeting about how wonderful it is. He couldn't play. Everyone knew he couldn't play. He got cut before the first game. It wasn't really, you know, that Jackie Robinson moment everyone was hoping for, and Gruden mocked it. Now, he mocked it by calling him a queer and other slurs, which is unacceptable, but he was right. It was a stunt. It was, you know, for the league, it was a PR stunt. We knew he couldn't play ironically or notably, the guy who can play, who's the first openly gay guy in the NFL, is playing for Gruden now. Carl Nassib, you know, the pass rusher for the Raiders, who will be asked about this today or whenever they're available. And I assume he's smart. And you saw his statement. He's articulate. He's a good poster boy for this movement. He's a much better player, obviously, than Michael Sam. It's not a stunt that Carl Nassib is on the team. But I think you will get a lot of people like Carl Nassib saying he's not a homophobe. He drafted me.
I mean,
and he must have known. I don't know if he knew. I don't know if it was a well-known secret. But you're also going to get a lot of black players, black coaches saying Gruden never saw any sign that he was racist, treated me fairly, all that. Because you can't be an NFL coach who's won a Super Bowl and really, I don't think, and discriminate. I mean, you can use this language, racist language and tropes and all that, but I don't think you're going to see black guys saying, oh yeah, he wouldn't give me a chance play.
But did he not say that that he didn't think women should be refs?
Yeah, so what?
Okay. I mean, so then you are using a gender, using, you know, something that shouldn't qualify on their gender.
If you think that Michael Sam drafting was a stunt, if he left out the pejoratives and the slurs and didn't call him a queer, what is the term? Yes, it's the Rams. He says Goodell should not have pressured Jeff Fisher to draft, quote, queers.
Right.
So if he just said, should not have pressured Jeff Fisher to draft
that one
Michael
player.
Sam,
yeah, if you didn't say the collective, people.
You know, I said it, obviously. It's true. Everyone knows.
No, well, that's fine. You're saying this isn't a qualified player in the league, but you can't say that women aren't qualified to be refs in the league because of their gender.
What if you said...
You could say that.
What if you said the movement to advance women ahead of men, even if they're not as good as men... was a woke PC.
Oh, yeah, no, you can totally say that. I think that's a valid opinion.
See, I think a lot of that was what he was expressing when the NFL was trying to get, you know, more politically correct and advance women and draft gay people.
No, it should be a marketplace. The best people for the job should get the job. That's how it should be.
The fact that he called everybody, including Goodell and others, the F slur, does that mean it's not a reference to sexual orientation?
No, I think that's a name call. That's an insult name call, but that's not making a judgment on somebody's fitness based on things like their gender or sexuality.
It was clear he could not survive. He could not survive. He had to go. He knew it. It's amazing that a private 10-year-old email brings a coach down, and a lot of people out there, a lot of coaches and media people and players are just like, either deleting emails or saying, thank God I didn't have, you know, I didn't email a lot, or thank God they can't get my texts, because this is obviously a selective judgment, selective punishment. Deshaun Watson is yet to be punished, which is amazing. I mean, he's not playing. He's inactive, but he's making $40 million this year, inactive, and they don't know what to do with him because he's been accused. And again, by over 20 women, 10 are charging him with criminal charges, and Goodell has said nothing, done nothing. It is, again, that state we're in where words have somehow become worse than actions.
Yeah, so the values are all askew right now. And it's terrible to see, because violence actually matters a lot more than bad words. It always will.
It should. I mean, that was the whole point. I mean, Dave Chappelle has made that point. Dave Chappelle's last special was called Sticks and Stones, because we were literally taught years ago that sticks and stones could hurt you, but names will never hurt you. Sticks and stones hurt you, not names, not words. We've flipped that on its head. And it's like, yeah, you know, we got people who've beaten up women in the league and you don't even mention it, but a guy uses words, a guy who wasn't in the league at the time, who was a private citizen, emailing with somebody, and again, do what you want to him. He's an idiot. He's a fool. He's a moron for doing what he did. But we're crying on the set over words.
Yeah, that's a little much.
And not only are we crying over words, but we're commending that. We're praising them for showing such emotions. and I want to get to it. I want to play it and get to a lot of other. I got no problem. You want to cry like Dan Campbell, the coach of the Lions. They blew another game. They're 0-5, and he was crying after the game, and it reminded me so much of so many high school and youth Pop Warner coaches who get very emotional about the game. It's a very emotional game.
Totally.
But Randy Moss was putting on a performance.
He had no connection at all, really, to the event. And right. it was 10 years ago. It's not like he just lost a game. It's not like, yeah, exactly.
He was putting on a performance, and we will play it for you, and Sam Ponder, and we'll hear from Teddy Bruschi, too, who's, yeah, I guess I don't blame guys. They got a good job. They work for ESPN. They don't want to mess it up. They're going to play along. They're going to follow the script as well and talk about, you know, the pain they're feeling about a 10-year-old email from this lunatic Gruden, who they probably all knew talked like this or thought like this. But now it's in print. It's in the New York Times. So they have to top one another with their indignation and their outrage. We'll play some of that. We'll remind you, we'll give you a reminder of some of the people who have done, you know, some of the saints and altar boys and Boy Scouts that the NFL has in its league or performing at halftime of the Super Bowl. And we'll get into the latest mask madness. I'll tell you who will never get canceled, by the way, Greg Popovich. We'll play you Pop's latest pandering, preening rant about Christopher Columbus. Real shocker that... that Greg Popovich, who is just, I'm surprised he doesn't sprain something, pandering every chance he gets. He's such a puke. But first, let me tell you about DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have their mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it such a difficult and confusing process. They will bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 466914, insured by NCUA. Membership required. We all knew that Gruden just checked all the boxes, you know, rich, crude, white guy, you know, $100 million contract. Lots of people didn't like him to begin with. And then, you know, again, it wasn't just saying that they shouldn't draft the gay guy because he couldn't play, or they shouldn't promote this female ref over this male ref just for PR reasons. I mean, his opinions obviously would not be... welcome in the NFL. They wouldn't be echoed by many people in the media. The media loves the PR, the PC stuff, the PR stuff, the woke stuff. They love the fact that, you know, there's an out-of-the-closet gay guy in the league now and female refs and, you know, a female broadcast team and all that. They don't care about merit. It's all about checking boxes. They don't care about diversity. Diversity's irrelevant. The media, the mainstream media, is the least diverse group of people in the world. They all think the same way, act the same way, vote the same way. He crossed lines. I mean, one line after another. I didn't really need to see, I guess, every email to know the way Gruden thinks. He's a caveman.
A Neanderthal.
Some of my best friends are caveman and Neanderthal, but he expressed it with using these pejoratives, which are unacceptable, using these slurs, which are unacceptable. He wasn't just opining, which he should have done, let's be honest. It would be interesting if they had these emails and you took out the slurs and he just questioned, you know, promoting women as refs or questioned drafting Michael Sam or ripped on Colin Kaepernick, all the false gods that the media worships. If he took them on, it would be fascinating. I wish he had left out the slurs, because then we could have the debate. Is this fireable? Him saying they shouldn't be drafting gay guys just for a stunt, just for PR. Is this fireable? Women, you know, aren't as good a refs as men. Or these women, the ones who've been promoted, they're not as good as the men that they've replaced. Something like that. Then you could have the debate. It's gone because this idiot used these slurs.
The wrong words. Yeah, these are non-starters, yeah.
Use these, you know, unacceptable terms. So he knew it. Everyone knew it. He wasn't going to survive. I wonder if anyone will ask Sean McDonough. I mean, Sean McDonough's obviously on the ropes himself because he was mocking a Muslim GM, baseball general manager, the Giants general manager. He was mocking him on a broadcast on WEEI. I'm not sure. I don't know if Sean's been back on the broadcast since. It's probably a quiet little wink-wink suspension, hoping the media won't talk about it, write about it anymore. But Sean McDonough was close with Gruden. They were partners and for years. I wonder, he must have heard this kind of language, this kind of homophobic, racist language. So I wonder if anyone will ask Sean about this or other people. Clearly, they will ask the players, the Raiders players, the Raiders coaches, black players. You know, did you hear this? Did you know this? But they won't have Gruden to kick around. They got rid of him quick. If they hadn't, the media would have come swooping in like a pack of vultures, and they would have picked the meat off his bones in the coming days. Gruden knew it. There was no way he was going to survive this again.
Not after the second wave. Right. No way.
You could say things like white people are evil, they're satanic, they have no compassion, and Fox, Viacom, CBS, they won't fire you. They won't throw you out with the trash. They'll say, he's learned a lot. You know, Nick Cannon's met with some rabbis and, you know, ADL people.
Imagine they did that with Gruden. Well, Gruden's met with some gay guys. Everything's good now.
Yeah. Some people, and that's the thing with cancel culture, it only works one way. And if they decide you're on the other team, they will come after you until they destroy you. And Gruden got out quickly. I assume he's got lots of money. I don't even know what he's going to do now. He was really good on TV. I mean, everyone, you know, thought he was funny and refreshing on
he's
TV.
Done. Yeah, he's
he can't
done.
Do TV.
Nothing.
I mean, he can't work at ESPN, where he used to work. He can't work at one of the networks. He can't, certainly can't work at an NFL network. I know he can't coach, can't GM. I don't know what he does. I guess he goes totally rogue and does a podcast.
Comes a rancher. I don't think he could do a podcast. I mean, he could.
His son is the strength and conditioning coach, Deuce Gruden, who's this musclehead, this little squatty, you know, tank.
Yeah.
Who is the strength and conditioning coach on the Raiders, and he has not been fired yet or asked to leave yet. Maybe he survives. Maybe the special teams coach who took over the team keeps him around. But we can't just say Gruden crossed the line, Gruden was offensive, Gruden must go. We must act as if he personally attacked, personally insulted every member of the media. And I'm afraid this is a trend. Again, I think it essentially started with Kirk Herbstreit. But I saw this live, this performance by Randy Moss, and I had to see it again because you can't quite tell that he's crying initially, but he is. And you can't quite tell, you know, why he's crying. And when they go around the room to Bruschi and Matt Hasselbeck, these guys don't know what to say. They're like, yeah, I don't know if I could play for him. Hasselbeck starts to say something. Randy Moss interrupts him because he's not finished with his performance. You know, he's got some more lines to recite and some more emotion to let out. And then Sam Ponder, the host, again, a white woman, beautiful blonde woman who's on the set doing this show, is crying because a coach in Las Vegas, who wasn't a coach then, was emailing his friend, making fun of people. I hate to break it to you, Sam Ponder, but your husband probably has some emails like this. Your colleagues, Randy Moss, probably has some emails that have some objectionable words in them. I realize we probably will not see that Gruden, unfortunately for him, got swept up in an investigation of Dan Snyder. By the way, can you Google and find all the...
Okay, well, that hasn't happened yet, which is crazy. Right.
Show me the emails that Dan Snyder wrote. You don't have them.
I don't...
So they have 650,000 emails. We have nothing from Dan Snyder, the guy who supposedly committed all these, you know, improprieties. We don't have anything from him. We have something from a ESPN guy who was emailing with his friend. So they destroy him, and I understand that's the way it works. It was his turn. They destroy Gruden. What about Snyder? Are we to think that they don't have emails?
There has to be. But the owners are protecting themselves, which is fine, but it's not fine. But there must be other people with saying inappropriate things in emails, not just, I mean, there must be other coaches or there must be other players or something that they have on file. But why Gruden? Why Gruden and why Gruden now?
Well, it's a good question. Somebody leaked, somebody doesn't like him. I'm sure there's lots of people who don't like him. They leaked it to the Wall Street Journal initially. And in case that wasn't enough, again, he held out. He dug in his heels. He apologized and said he's not quitting. Said he's not going to talk about it anymore. The next day, they leak emails to the New York Times. which I haven't actually read because it's behind a paywall.
And yeah, I just got some screenshots on it. That's what we're looking at here.
Right. They got other media outlets have taken the good parts, but I don't think many people have read the New York Times story because, again, it's behind a paywall, and who would pay for that garbage? But, you know, you could just wait for other people, aggregators, to give you the meat of it, the quotes, and we have it right in front of us, the F slur and queers and anti-football pussy, he calls Goodell.
So that one's appropriate, I think.
And again, he hits all the wrong notes. He insults the gay guy. He insults Kaepernick, St. Colin, and insults the commissioner and insults Joe Biden. So
and women.
I knew and women. Oh, good point. And I knew that clearly all the greatest hits. There was no way in hell he was going to survive. I wonder what Gruden, I'm guessing he's not going to go quietly, or at least privately, he's not going to go quietly. If I had to guess, Gruden will look for ways to get people back who he knows, you know, Goodell. He knows what Goodell has said and done in his private life over the last 30 years. He knows a lot about.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a lot of dirt
about Randy Moss.
And he probably has emails sent back to him that put people in a bad light. He could leak his own.
He must. I mean, he was at ESPN. He's coaching a couple different teams. He's pretty well connected. I would think that, and he's not just not the type to just go away to disappear. It is amazing. Like some people who've been canceled, who just disappear, and you say, what are they like? Like Michael Richards, obviously part of the biggest TV show. I mean, I know he didn't make what Seinfeld made, but he must have made
tons,
50, 70, 80, $100 million.
Yeah.
But just totally disappears. Like you can't see him anywhere. You can't hear from him. Unlike Nick Cannon, you know, he was, you know, canceled, like really canceled. And what he said was bizarre and offensive and ridiculous and racist. But it was nothing compared to what Nick Cannon said. Nothing. It was just an emotional rant on a stage in a live show somewhere. Nick Cannon said it on a podcast. White people are evil. Top that. I mean, top that. You can't. And he didn't lose any of his jobs. He's still probably making 10, 15 million a year. He still goes on and giggles with Howie Hamptons. I mean, he was not canceled. Not canceled at all. We're saying white people are evil and Jews control the world and all this crazy Farrakhan stuff. He was not chosen for sacrifice.
That's an acceptable public sentiment right now, unfortunately.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And everything Gruden did was unacceptable.
I think the difference with Richards is he's in his early 70s. He's like 72, 73. So what would he be doing anyway? He's probably just hanging out wherever he is.
I don't know. George Costanza does, you know, Dorito commercials.
I guess
whatever.
So, yeah.
And you think of the way Michael Richards does his thing. It's all this, what do you call that comedy? The when you stunts and you're running in and running out and it's all physical comedy.
Sure.
He could do TV commercials.
I guess he could, but maybe it's not
be
worth
that crazy. You know, I think, and you've heard Seinfeld talk about it, you know, he feels bad. He understands Richards crossed the line and clearly he's not, you know, broke, but he's done as a comedian, as a performer, as an actor. He's just done.
But Gruden's only 58. So he's got a lot left, and was he going to sit on his hands for the rest
of his
life?
That's a good question. He doesn't seem like the type who could just go off into the sunset and go whatever paddle boarding. He doesn't seem like play golf. He doesn't seem like, and something like this, you don't want it to end this way. You know, clearly
legacy wise. Yeah, no. Right, he'll write a book.
Let's play this sound that I've been teasing since we started here because it's amazing. And I saw it initially and said, really? Are they really crying? This was, keep in mind, when there was only one email, as far as I know, that
right.
went public.
That's right, because it's
the email 10. About Demoris Smith, about his lips, and about him being dumb or whatever. But mostly, it was this racist trope about his lips. Gruden apologized. It wasn't enough. The little round table on NFL Countdown discussed this, and Randy Moss took it to another level. He wept.
I'm curious from your perspective, Randy, if you were in that locker room today, would you be able to play for him?
You know, to speaking of Teddy's point, you know, basically you hear us talk about we got a work to do, we got a job to do, and that's to provide for our families. And Teddy hit it right on the head of just putting your head down and going playing football. You know, I speak about the game of football. I fell in love with the game of football, Sam, at 6 years old. And I get emotional talking about it because of situations like this. My civil rights were taken, were kind of messed with in high school over the color of my skin. And now being able to play 14 years in the National Football League, to have something like this of a leader. We talk about leadership. We give guys these big contracts because they want to be able to lead 70 men, coaches, equipment staff, and managers to the number one goal, and that's to win a championship. And for us to be moving back and not forward in 21st century, like I said, man, National Football League, this hurts me. The clock is ticking, man.
Is he for real?
He's all over the place, too. That's what do you, this was, first of all, we're moving backwards. That was 10 years ago.
Right.
So
right.
Have some perspective
and
there.
And moving backwards, it just broke. And, you know, Gruden's done. He's never going to work in the league. Are you happy now, Randy Moss? You want to go through everyone's 10-year-old emails? You want to, I don't know, compare yours to some other coaches? And Randy Moss, by the way, you know, he's the one that quit on the Patriots. You look at his history. Got all kinds of, I'm not just talking about wiping his ass on the goalpost, but he quit on a number of different teams and coaches. He was accused of domestic violence. He was jailed in high school for brawling, fighting, and then violating his parole, I believe, because he kept flunking drug tests. Anyway.
He had to catch himself, too. He said, my civil rights were taken away, but he had to catch himself to mess with. So come on.
We're messed with. Here's Jason Whitlock, and you can always count on Jason to kind of go over the top. But Whitlock reacting to the Moss performance, he said, Moss should win an Academy Award for Best Leading Actor, and Ponder and Brewski should win Best Supporting Actor Awards. How did Rex Ryan keep his straight face during this charade? Can you imagine what Rex Ryan's emails and texts look like? The man has a foot fetish.
Right.
You think he's not emailing, texting, talking about the significance of big feet? Are we black men so fragile that Gruden's opinion on Smith's enormous lips can reduce us to tears? And Whitlock says, I'm not that fragile. The opinion of white men just isn't that important to me. Gruden's email doesn't impact my life. And he talks all about how he loves his big lips and talks about Angelina Jolie's lips. And he says, Gruden's email doesn't tell me anything about what Gruden thinks of black men. Gruden thinks Smith is dumb. Gruden's eyes tell him Smith's lips are enormous. Those are justifiable opinions. In comparison to former NBA executive director Gene Upshaw, I believe Smith is rather incompetent and stupid. The size of Smith's lips is not up for debate. Now, I don't see how you defend that. I mean, he obviously the comment about his lips is offensive and unacceptable and racist, but is it really going to make a guy who's not involved in this, who's not talking about you, cry? It doesn't. I mean, Whitlock's point is a good one. This is a performance. I want to hear from Ponder because, again, you're telling me she's genuinely affected by a 10-year-old email from a coach in Vegas to another guy in D.C. about someone, you know, she doesn't know or care about, and she's crying, wondering how the players could play. Gruden, you know how they play for him? They show up, they do their job, they make a lot of money, they play the game they love, you know, they do their job. They're going to not play, they're going to quit and lay down because their coach made a comment about some guy's lips 10 years ago? It just seems like, how do we allow ourselves to get to that point, to go from, you know, sticks and stones 20, 30 years ago to the point where grown men are outwardly, openly weeping because of a 10-year-old email?
I don't know how we got there, but
is
I don't
that,
like
is
it.
Is that healthy?
That. No, it's not healthy at all.
Is that wise?
Not at all. You want to hear Ponder?
Let's hear from the beautiful white woman on the set who was just so affected she couldn't control herself.
All eyes is on Las Vegas.
Yeah. Randy, I appreciate you just being genuine and honest. It's what we love
about
you.
We've been through a lot, Sam.
Yes, we have.
That's just part of Sam. She has a longer scene where she cries. Brewski wonders if he could play for the coach. He says you have to play for him, for your family, but you don't want to play for him. It's a moot point now. He's gone. He's done. He's out. And I'm wondering if they have 650,000 emails in evidence in D.C. Gruden's probably the biggest name to walk the plank, but he can't be the only one who emailed inappropriate words. I mean, are we going to see every email that has like the F word in it or has, you know, some joke about some, you know, chick's, you know, whatever body or something? We're going to see any inappropriate, glib, comment from everyone?
I mean, just statistically, there's got to be like 10% of those emails that are inappropriate, right? So like 65,000 emails. Are you telling me that he's the only one? There's no way.
Can't be. And I assume, again, they're not big names. Hopefully it's probably just front office people, but
hopefully Belichick does not email ever.
It's a good question. He probably doesn't. It's Bruce Allen worked with Gruden in LA or in Oakland and in Tampa, and they were friends, and you could tell. I mean, he's trusting. He's thinking, I trust Bruce Allen so I can write these personal things, these inappropriate things.
Yeah.
Little did he know that there'd be an investigation where they would get a hold of all the emails because Bruce Allen was working on his company account, and they would go public. But it's not a criminal investigation.
No.
So, I mean, think of that. This isn't the law. This isn't the police, the FBI. This is just the league. And someone at the league decided they wanted to destroy Gruden's life.
That's actually a good point. They're shooting themselves. Right. They did. It's their own lawyers who are going through all these emails, and it's their own personnel who are leaking them.
Bizarre. And again, there'll be no sympathy for John Gruden, who mocks Joe Biden, Michael Sam, women refs, female refs, that kind of thing. So he's definitely a dead man, and he will never, ever recover. He's 58. I think he's still a good coach, to probably great on TV, but you will not hear or see from him again, at least not for a while. Again, he's been chosen. The media chooses those who get to survive and those who don't. And Nick Cannon could survive, and Antonio Brown could survive, but not John Gruden. RIP, thoughts and prayers to the Gruden family. All right, let's do Shea, and then we're going to get to Popovich, that puke, who will never, ever be canceled by the media. They love Coach Pop. And we had our heroes yesterday, the Southwest pilots and airline workers who walked off the job. We call them heroes because we didn't have a flight booked on Southwest anywhere, right, and didn't have to sleep in the airport. But they're fighting back. God bless them. And I think they're going to start a trend. There's going to be a lot more people. But today's hero, if you haven't seen it yet, is a 15-year-old girl from Wyoming named Grace, who's done more to fight back against the authoritarians in the Biden regime and in many state and local governments, done more to fight back than the entire Republican Party. It's kind of sad, but we'll tell you about Grace after we tell you about Shea Concrete. This is for you homeowners and home builders out there. Did you know that Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. I've been telling you about this. This is the best thing. I think it might be the best thing they do, is their precast concrete steps. Whether you're building a new home, or you need to replace an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values with designs for any home. Available in concrete, or you can customize the steps with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Just like that, you call Shea, they come over, they take the old steps away, which, by the way, they're really heavy. That is a pain in the ass. They take the old steps away. They put the new steps. You can sit in the window with the AC cranking and watch it all happen. And when they're done, your house looks better and it's worth more. This isn't an expense. This is an investment in your home. Check it out. You can learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. And by the way, you can also look for a job there. You can go to Shea Concrete or get on SheaConcrete.com. They're always hiring. It's a great company, a great place to work. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade your profession and go work for Shea. Check that out as well at SheaConcrete.com. All right, you want to see a coach, and again, Gruden's a terrible example, but a coach who will never get in trouble with the mainstream media, who will never cross the media, who has learned to play the game. I bet you Greg Popovich isn't even a liberal, but he knows this is how you ingratiate yourself.
I think he is the way he
is.
Well,
we looked it up one time. He lives on a big, got like a mansion on a golf course in a very exclusive community. And I wonder how many of his neighbors are people of color or immigrants from, Central America. He's a fraud. He's a total fraud. But he's like Stan Van Gundy and Steve Kerr. They know that if they're going to ingratiate themselves with the players and the media, that they can't be too woke. It's all about being woke. And yesterday, Popovich was asked about Columbus Day. And, he didn't go over the top or anything. He said celebrating Columbus in the United States would be like celebrating Hitler in Germany, because I remember that all those concentration camps that Columbus built and just marched people in and tried to, and I think he eliminated, you know, 6 million people, kind of like Hitler. So if you wished someone a happy Columbus Day, as we did yesterday, you might as well have been saying
that. Just named the day after him.
Might as well be saying happy Hitler Day.
Right. So I've actually got two cuts. He sets it up and then he does the Hitler in the second cut.
Let's listen to this dink, Greg Popovich, pander his ass off yesterday.
He's about our city and why it's Indigenous Peoples Day / Columbus Day. Columbus. I mean, he initiated a new world genocide. That's what he did. And beginning with him and what he set in motion and what followed meant the annihilation of every Indigenous person in Hispaniola.
Every?
Which was Haiti and the Dominican Republic today. That's what he did. He took slaves. He mutilated. He murdered. And they're gonna say slash and honor him. Well, you know, I got to give the San Antonio Independent School District a little bit of credit because at least they added Indigenous Peoples Day along with it, and that's a step in the right direction. But what the hell is Alamo Heights thinking?
So that's a Alamo setup.
Alamo Heights has the slash. They have Indigenous people right. Slash, which is silly. Obviously, there's nothing you can call it Indigenous Peoples Day, as we said yesterday, but you can't tell me what you're honoring them for, what they accomplished for. It's just like, oh, yeah, let's celebrate Native Americans. Okay, for what? I mean, if you came up with something, well, they did this, they built that or invented this or whatever. I mean, we celebrate Columbus for discovering the New World, which is now United States of America. We wouldn't have this society, this civilization, if you didn't have these bold explorers who crossed the ocean following nothing but the stars and discovered this new world. It's nothing if not courageous. I mean, these guys had huge balls and we're celebrating them for that, thankful for that, because, you know, the American U.S. civilization, society, we've advanced in so many ways. Maybe we would still be sitting in Europe and wouldn't have established this wonderful country if not for Christopher Columbus. But Popovich is 72 years old. Isn't it amazing that a guy like this probably spent the first 70 years of his life saying, hey, happy Columbus Day. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, I haven't Googled or looked back, but how long do you think he's felt that Columbus is akin to Hitler? You think it's been, you know, his whole life?
No, I think it's recent.
It's recent because it's all he does is pander, and because he knows the media will lap it up with a spoon and the players will like it and say, oh, Popovich, man, he's got balls. I mean, he's the opposite of balls. He's a panderer, a follower, a guy who knows how to ingratiate himself with the right people, and he'll never. They could find emails of him confessing to a triple murder, and the media will never turn on Pop. They love Pop. But let's listen to what else Pop has to say.
Columbus Day, and we're going to honor that. And it's no knock on Italian Americans. That's a silly argument. You know, it's like saying we should be proud of Hitler because we're German. I mean, it makes no sense. It's about Columbus. It's not about Italian Americans. And so there are a lot of states that have come out and scratched the Columbus Day and made it Indigenous Peoples Day. But in our city, are we that backward that we have school districts that do that? I'm amazed.
You know, I don't think Columbus, obviously he conquered the New World and fought, you know, the indigenous people and killed some, and just like they fought other indigenous people, and we conquered this land just like they had conquered it before us and someone else conquered it before us. The world is messy. Most of the world is conquered land. I don't think Columbus had concentration camps, but you know who does? The Communist Party of China.
Oh, he's cool with China.
The CCP and Greg Popovich, that gutless pandering puke, will never say a negative word about his friends.
He doesn't know anything about that. Doesn't know anything about it.
Who's more analogous to, you know, Germany in 1938, the current state of China, or, you know, the the Caribbean when Columbus landed there. I mean, he's such a coward. He won't say anything about China. He will never bite the hand that feeds
him. Just be consistent. That's all I ask for. Don't be a hypocrite.
You're not going to get it from any of those guys, LeBron or Popovich or Kerr or none of them. You'll get no guts whatsoever. But you know who you'll get guts from? 15-year-old Grace. 15-year-old Grace, a high school kid from Wyoming. Do you have her last name? Because I don't have her last name.
I don't, but I'm not sure that they published it.
Oh, right. And Stuart.
She's underage, yeah.
If you haven't seen the video yet, it's pretty awesome. And again, Grace is doing what, you know, every elected Republican, what Mitch McConnell should be doing, what, you know, Kevin McCarthy should be doing, what every right-wing activist should be doing. She is standing up. She is... sacrificing something, her freedom and her money, by the way, they're fining her. But she went to school and just wasn't going to wear a mask because she's smart enough to know, to read up, to understand that masks are theater, that there's no reason for a 15-year-old to wear a mask to obstruct her breathing. It's not healthy. It's not smart. It's not necessary. So she went to school without a mask. And of course, they called the cops. They locked down the school. Think of how insane. The point we've reached where you lock down the school, you can't leave, everybody stay in your place, like it's a school shooting. It's a 15-year-old girl, healthy, no diseases, no coronavirus, and she wants to go to school. She's got her books in her backpack, and she's like, just let me go. No. The cop said, you're not going to leave, we're going to arrest you, and they arrested her. What was the charge? It was something like...
Trespassing.
Oh, trespassing, right, because she wouldn't leave school. Because she wanted to go to school, and she got busted. She knew she was going to. They handcuffed her in the front because the cop was just so gracious. He didn't want to hold her hands behind her. But I'm sorry, you know I'm a big, big supporter of the police. Any cop that handcuffs a 15-year-old girl,
here we go,
handcuffs her, puts her in the cruiser, fingerprints her, charges her. I mean, I'm sorry.
Cops that enforce immoral laws are acting immorally.
And if he wanted to, you know, he'd just say, "Ken, let's go. We'll go through the motions here. But you know what? I respect what you're doing. The cop has to wear a mask too, but he knows he doesn't really have to. He knows it's just theater. But can we listen to Grace or listen to her interaction with the?"
So I've got a few different cuts. Probably the second one is the one I think that the cop is telling her that he's going to have to arrest her. So let's do that here.
Want to stay, you're going to receive another citation for trespass.
Okay.
So you've been formally warned of trespass. Do you want to leave the facility now?
No.
No? You want to stay? Yeah. All the doors are locked, man. So you want to stay? How long are you planning on staying for?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to go write the citation for you. I am going to let you know what's going on at this point.
Okay.
This entire building now is in lockdown. So you have now restricted the movement of over 1,000 students who are not allowed to leave their classrooms because you're trying to get back into the classroom, which you are not allowed to do because you've been suspended, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We will wait you out for some time. I am going to warn you now. If this continues for a length of time to where I feel that we have now hampered the ability for every student in here to get an education, I will be placing you into handcuffs and I'll be taking you down to the jail.
That's exactly what happens.
Right, that's exactly what happened. Handcuffs are in the front. She knows it. She agrees to go along. If it weren't for the fine, I'd say I'd do that too. But I don't know, maybe her parents got some dough. But the fine was, what, 500 or was it 1,000?
I didn't see what the fine is, but they are fundraising. A bunch of people have given
their
money.
Oh, that's true. Good point. She could do the GoFundMe. And she's getting a lot of praise on right-wing Twitter, a lot of praise from freedom-loving Americans. You're right. That cop was a dink. Acting all serious. They lock down. People can't leave their rooms.
I mean, come on.
Yes, they can, sir. It's up to the principal. It's up to you to let them leave their rooms. You know this is immoral. You know this is pointless. It's just theater. Just let her go to class. Let everyone go to class. But that's what it takes. She will start a trend. There'll be others who will do the same thing, who are fed up with this ridiculous charade of gagging, masking children. The only country in the world where we mask kids 5 years old. We have the most strict mask mandate for children in the world. We like to think we're so advanced. Why do we allow this? Why are we doing this? Just to placate, you know, the Biden regime who pretend, you know, it's the people who aren't wearing masks, the unvaccinated, the war on the unvaccinated. It's cynical. It's a lie. It's something that if you can't push back on this, forget it. You're nothing but a sheep.
And Grace is super brave. I mean, she is standing up to absolute power. All power structure is against her, whether it's the school, the state, her country, her president. Everybody is against her. And she stood up. That's super brave.
And the media. And by the way, she's right. We know that the children don't need masks. She's right.
She's right.
Parents who willingly mask their children and then rat out other kids or other parents who don't mask their children, they've been exposed. They're just the most despicable people. They know it's not good for their children, and they do it anyway because they want to show how they're complying and submitting, and they're going along with these insane edicts. It's just nuts. And good for Grace. Hopefully she starts a trend. Hopefully there's lots more kids like her, and eventually everyone just strips off the mask and says, we've had enough. But I fear that things are going so badly for the Biden regime that they're saying, you know, we need to keep people in fear. If they're not in fear, they're not going to comply. So they must continue to lie to them and tell them kids are dying in droves. And you saw that New York Times story the other day when they said like 900,000 kids have had COVID. A total lie. It was like 60,000. It's, you know, the disinformation campaign is in full speed, top gear here. Trying to convince everyone they should be scared. Well, forget it. Good for Grace. God for bless Grace. You, Grace. Hope you start a trend. We got to wrap this up for our locals audience. People are watching on locals. Thank you for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for commenting. We appreciate it. All right, Carano, good job. We will leave it right there. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will talk to you again tomorrow morning.